Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with people who have gone through something tragic, and all those dumb little babies in our audience who still believe in magic. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big facted. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
You know, I keep trying to check Fandango to see if there's a movie worth sneaking into, and man, this summer does not have anything fun going on.
Do I need to do some mutual aid for you? How about you need to sneak into movies?
Yeah, it's easy.
But why?
Because why not? Why would you pay for a movie when you could not?
Okay, unethical life pro tip from Adrian. Why pay for a movie? It's pretty easy to sneak in.
Well, it depends on the theater. I can't do it at every theater, but the one next to me, you can very easily.
Yeah, I guess you have to go to a... I mean, unless you're okay with somebody saying, oh, that's my seat, and then you scoot over one. But
yeah.
Otherwise, you probably need to go to a less popular showing.
Yeah. I mean, I think I told you that story about how during Sinners, I was like, oh, I don't want to get on my phone and look at who's buying seats, but like, it's getting pretty packed in here. Like, oh boy.
Do you pay for Cheap Movie Tuesdays? So what movies are you paying for and what movies are you stealing?
I steal all of them now at this point. I don't really pay for Cheap Movie Tuesday anymore.
Wow. And Pearson Nicole will go with a criminal?
Yeah. Yeah, they will.
Is that a large theater chain that does Cheap Movie Tuesdays, or is that a local one?
No. Our local art house theater and Regal does it, or AMC. We don't have Regals around here, actually. Or no, do we not have AMCs? We have Regals, we don't have AMCs, something like that. I used to pay for it, but then I realized after a certain point, I was like, well, I don't have to.
I was trying to think of the funniest thing to say that that was my attitude towards.
Sex?
Is that funny or is it just, I don't know if it works.
I think it works. That's a funny character.
That's a funny character?
Yeah.
Guy who was like, oh, I have the cheat code. You don't even have to go to the red light district. I have the cheat code, man.
You just talk to her.
You get to know her.
If you match on Hinge and you take him to a fancy dinner after three or four of those, they'll let you do it for free.
Oh, no longer am I on... Oh, man, there was a website that...
Backpage?
Yeah, Backpage. Thank you.
Was that it? Was it Backdoor? I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, Backdoor was the one for anal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking that right when I said it. It's not that kind of show, Paul. We can't be talking about anal two episodes in a row. Was there a rapper who rapped a lot about that? I can't remember if there was, like, some celebrity who, like, really openly talked about how much they liked that website.
That feels like Hopson, but maybe I'm just thinking about...
Maybe. About the one...
Yeah.
Massage song? Yeah. Are there any of those left? Or are those a relic of the past?
Songs about hiring a prostitute?
No, actual massage parlors that have the back room thing. I think Gen Z is going to put an end to that. If there are any still left around, I don't think Gen Z is going to have any part of it.
I get it's a drug, so that's like a very easy argument for like, that's how so many of these stores sustain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Why does there need to be a tobacco store on every block?
They
sell tobacco at corner stores. If you told me out the back they were selling a little rub and tug, I'd be like, that makes a lot more sense how those places stay open.
I think the prices are different, right? Actually, I don't know. Are we dedicated tobacco stores known for being cheaper?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it always feels like, what's going on there? Like, don't they use tobacco that's like pretty standard? Like, how many people need a really niche product like that they can't just get from a
You're definitely paying more for it at a corner store, though. I think that's kind of part of it.
I don't know. And then a lot of the times they don't look like there's people in there. So it's just you walk by and you're like, I don't know. It looks like maybe they get one customer an hour. What's going on there? Okay. Like,
it's an expensive product. They get commish.
That is true. It is $40 for a disposable vape. I guess if you have a handful of addicted customers, you're kind of good to go.
Yeah. Maybe it's like I think alcohol is like that, where it's like 80% of the purchasing is done by like the top 10% of people.
That makes sense. Yeah.
You mentioned a while ago that you were going to try and get out more. Have you been doing that during your regular days?
No.
No? Dang, okay. I was hoping that would generate some fun stories.
I have my monitor here, man. I can't work off my laptop. It's crazy. I think we came to the conclusion last time that I could, as long as I just didn't work very hard.
Yeah.
But there is always a risk that, you know, a fire drill happens, something goes down in production.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of emergencies happen in your work, but I believe it. I can see it happening.
Yeah. Well, stuff can go down, and if it does, that's like lost profit. I have to be there to fix it.
Mm. See, I don't know why you don't talk about your job more. It's so interesting.
Okay, what happens at your job? One bee gets sassy with another bee, and you have to be the HR coordinator?
Yeah, that's how it works. I'm not HR.
Dispute resolution?
That's not in my job description.
And you would like a little bit less sting and a little bit more honey, and you'd have more friends.
So that's what BHR does?
Yeah.
That's what, okay, yeah. That makes sense. Oh, yeah, yeah. You catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Yeah, but I felt like I couldn't say that because that's kind of rude to a bee.
That's specious.
Compared to a fly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it would go well.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'd be like, what about me reminds you of a fly?
They are related. You know, at a certain point, there are some connections.
And I'd be like, well, all you guys fly. What do you mean by all you type fly? I'd be like, oh, okay, come on now.
I kind of want, it's always been like a weird goal of mine to introduce more folksy sayings into my daily vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to add that in there.
Yeah, but then people can have the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trap card folksy saying, so when you say you catch more flies with honey than vinegar, they can go, well, you catch more with poop, so.
Is that true? Is that an actual response?
Yeah, I feel like I've heard multiple people say that. That's a snarky response. Yeah, you catch more with shit.
Okay, so the new goal, create my own folksy sayings that don't have built-in rebuttals to them.
Okay, I think that's a good goal.
I mean, I've asked my parents about idioms in that are either Guatemalan or basically Spanish, and they're like, yeah, we don't really have that many that we use.
That feels like what my parents would say, and it would just be because they couldn't think.
And then I had to look it up online to like find examples, and I'd be like, what about this? And they're like, oh, yeah, that is one.
Yeah, that feels so much like exactly not that there isn't any in Spanish. It's that they couldn't remember any, and we're too short-sighted to be we probably just aren't remembering.
They're just lazy. They didn't want to think of something. I was like, what about this online where it says if you don't have bread, use a tortilla? And they're like, oh, yeah, people do say that. That's true.
That doesn't really make sense to me. If you don't,
it makes sense.
Tortilla is not considered bread. Okay. I was going to say, is there a word for non-tortilla bread?
Well,
and a word for...
It's not like non. I mean, that tortilla is like, you know, it's corner. I guess the flour tortilla. Even then, I don't know if I'd consider that a bread product.
It's a flatbread. It's like, I guess a fried tortilla is it. But if it's not fried, that's a flatbread.
But even then, it's not like, what is it, lavash or whatever that you guys got? It's like there's no leavening, there's no nothing. It's so flat. There's no crumb structure to it.
Yeah,
I think
that's
it lacks...
the original bread. That's where society started, my brother.
The original bread? I thought that was Sumerians made actual bread.
I thought it was all like hot rocks and you'd put like a ground meal
and like a tandoor
mixture on
essentially.
It. I don't know if they usually leavened in the earliest days.
I mean, that makes sense technically. Yeah, sure. We should do a bread episode. It wouldn't be... Well, maybe we need to do it when we have a white woman on here who could be like, oh my god, if I could eat bread all day, I'd do that. I wish I was a duck.
Me and you for 30 minutes back and forth, like a little bit of olive oil and vinegar.
Oh, that balsamic? Oh my god, are you kidding me? I'm not eating
a nice tart goat cheese with just like a little bit of
honey just to balance it out. Oh, are you kidding me? Maybe a little cranberry like rolled chevre or like a blueberry one? I can't remember who it was that I heard recently that was just like, when was the last time you had a piece of buttered toast? It's so good.
And then if you have the unsalted butter, and it's a good quality butter,
and then
you
flaky,
add your own crumbly, flaky salt on the toast, you can really move it up a notch.
Oh my god. Dude, I love YouTube chefs that get like weirdly aggro and angry about salted versus unsalted butter. They're like, in this recipe, we're using all unsalted butter because I control the amount of salt in this dish, not Big Butter. It's like, all right, yeah, calm down a little bit, though. It's not that serious. Have you made anything recently? Dude, I have not been cooking this summer as much as I should be.
Today I made like a cucumber and egg stir fry.
Cucumber egg stir fry. Interesting.
I don't know. I saw like a couple shorts on it and I was like, that does look good.
I don't know if I usually cook cucumber. I don't know when the last time I cooked
it. It tastes really good and interesting. A lot of oil goes into it, though, is what I would say. So if you're, it's not like a healthy recipe, even though those sound like healthy ingredients.
Yeah. That sounds good.
It's kind of like a wok recipe. I just use my carbon steel pan.
Nice. Yeah, it's a good move. Have you bought Kenji's cookbook yet?
I have not, but I don't have a carbon steel wok. I'm not going to buy the wok cookbook.
You could get a wok.
I don't need a wok.
But that's the whole point, is that you can cook everything in there. You can deep fry at home in there.
Yeah, I do deep fry sometimes, and it is, woks do save all the oil. You probably do make back your money in oil pretty quickly when you deep fry.
And then you filter it and you reuse it. Watch the Ethan Klebowski video.
Well, you can
it.
Do that with normal. I do that.
You do that. Okay. That's been a thing that I've been doing recently where I've been catching people with the food lab in their house and being like, how often are you cooking on that thing? And they're like, nah, it's mostly just for show.
What's the food lab?
It's Kenji's first cookbook. It's the one that kind of launched him into stardom, I think. I don't know what I would liken it to, but it is almost like a, if you know, you know. You're like, oh, that person knows about food. Do you have a media roundup or anything, Paul?
No, not really. How about you?
I had a couple things. So really easy one. First of all, the new Wonder Girl single is pretty good. You should check it out. I feel no need to give a shout out to the new Clips album. I feel like anyone who's going to listen to that has already listened to it, but it is pretty good. I officially quit Duolingo. So my 630-day streak has come to an end.
For moral reasons?
Yeah, for their AI first bullshit. So I had to break the news to one of my friends who had a long friend streak going with, where she was like, yeah, I was kind of worried about you. I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, yeah, I had to quit. And I looked up alternatives, and right now I'm using Mango Language, which is free if you have the library, if you are a library member for most places. It's really not as good, it's not as gamified, and it's not as social, but I think it's, you know, it'll get me there, I think. It'll at least keep me practicing daily. RIP Duolingo, RIP to a Guatemalan-founded company. Just couldn't do it anymore. All right, do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, the theme is magic.
Just as a baseline to figure out what type of person you are, how do you spell it?
You mean with a K or a C? Is that an indicator of something?
Or a J or a G, whether you actually believe in it, I think.
Isn't that one of those things where, like, I feel like I learned that as a kid, where, like, if you believe in God, you spell it uppercase, but if you don't, you spell it lowercase? Like, proper noun versus non-proper noun? Is that not a thing?
If you're Jewish, you don't spell it at all, right? Because you're not supposed to use the real name of God. So, right, they always do G-D.
That doesn't seem germane to the point I'm making, but sure. Let's bring that up. I don't think it's a counterpoint or a point.
There's one exception to your rule.
It's not a rule, I'm saying. I thought that was a thing, is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
And, of course, there's illiterate people who don't write at all. So, so yeah, you're right. Yeah, all right. Fuck me, I guess.
I'm glad you admit it.
Yeah. How do you spell it? But now that everybody knows what we're talking about, we can chop it up a little bit. Were you ever a magician?
No. I think we had like a toy set of magic tricks as a kid, but I didn't take to it too much. I assume that was a hand-me-down from my brother or sister.
I distinctly remember my neighbors having a trick hat where you're supposed to like pull a rabbit out of a hat where it has a divider in it that you can easily open. So you can show the hat, it's just black, then you can open the divider and pull something out.
Wait, that's how they do that?
I don't think that's how top-level magicians do that, but that is a way to make a kid's toy where they do that.
Wait, what do top-level... I honestly thought that was how they did that. I thought there was like a false top-level bottom magicians? Or something.
Yeah. They just cast a spell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Illusion or teleportation? Are they illusioning me into not seeing that there was a rabbit there, or are they teleporting a rabbit into there?
They're teleporting a rabbit through a wormhole in space.
Okay.
But now we're getting into the distinction between an illusionist and a magician. My take is that there's probably, I was looking up the Wikipedia page for magic, and there is a whole section about separating magic as an art form from magic by people who actually believe in magic, and magic from people who are scammers. They try to, like, delineate the three categories of magician.
Okay, card tricks. Do you know any card tricks? I was never, like, a sleight of hand guy. I was never that intrigued by magic. Mm. It is, like, a stereotypical nerds end up having a phase where they do magic, but I don't know.
Yeah, like a Nathan Fielder. I think that seems like one of those things where, like, most people I know who are interesting, like, have one that they know how to do. I've definitely learned one before, like, in high school. But no, if you ask me right now, I could not do any magic trick. The best magic trick I could do is a joke magic trick where I just take a really long time doing things with the deck and never actually asking what your card is until you get really frustrated and ask what's supposed to be the point of this.
Oh, you see, my bit is to be really drunk and really clearly flip it to look at what it'll be like. Pick a card, any card. Don't show me. And as soon as they hand it to me, I flip it really quick to look at it and put it on the deck.
That's funny. What I like is a diversity of tactics when it comes to bits. So I think I appreciate what you're doing. Phil has a thing where I can't remember what he did it to Topher one time where Topher was wearing a jacket and he was like, I'm going to write down four words on a piece of paper and put them in your jacket. Tell me, like, what word you're thinking of, and I'll pull it out. And I can't remember what the bit was, but he was doing something where he was just, like, pulling pieces of paper out of someone's jacket in a way that was just a bit and not actually magic, but I can't remember it.
Okay, I'm glad we all have tactics for being assholes.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. Oh, yeah, I mean, specifically the one time I did it was, like, another grad student who, like, when I pulled out a deck of cards and asked if someone wanted to see a trick, she was like, oh, my God, I love magic tricks.
That makes it so much better. Being like, okay, I'm going to split it into four packs. Pick one stack. Okay, split that in half and give me the third card.
And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a rosette of cards. Okay, we're going to make six of those.
Now, can you pick another card? Okay, now this one you show me. Okay, it's a seven. Pick the seventh one on this stack.
Okay, now what I need you to do is think of the card you picked and just think about it really hard in your head for a couple minutes. Did you ever watch Chris Angel's show?
No.
Oh, I watched a lot of that.
I always get him and David Blaine confused. Which one is the one that does, like, the stuff that's not magic, that's just, like, really crazy body stunts?
That's David Blaine.
That's David Blaine.
That's the one where there's that really great early YouTube video about the guys who run into David Blaine on the street. I don't know if you watched that one.
Was David Blaine the one? I always remember this was crazy to me, where he stabs himself through the hand with a piece of metal. And the way he does the trick is that he's just been doing it for years until he built up enough scabs that he, like, there's a hole through his hand. Basically, he can stab himself through.
That's disgusting.
I know.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Is that a line from, like, a Christopher Nolan movie or whatever? The thing where the guy puts out a match with his fingers and, like, he's like, the trick is not minding that it hurts.
I don't know. I feel like you're almost thinking of Christopher Nolan's Joker when he's like, you want to see a magic trick? And he shoves the guy's head into a pencil.
Ooh, I don't like that either. I don't like any of those. I do remember watching one season of America's Got Talent where one dude was a magician. And part of, like, selling certain bits is that you have to, like, make it seem like it's actually dangerous and risky. So he does a thing where he backflips onto boxes. Two of them are empty and one of them has a knife. And literally the judges kicked him out because they were like, that just wasn't fun to watch. I didn't like that at all. They were like, that wasn't fun. Paul, who's your favorite magician? And you can't pick Penn and Teller. If you have to pick one of them.
And you can't pick Harry Potter when you do yours.
No. We'll talk about that later.
My favorite magician. The Masked Magician.
Do you want to provide context for that?
Yeah, I forget what the show was called, but The Masked Magician was that ABC show, or he was the magician on the ABC show that told you how to do the magic tricks. That was like a show
like
while we were
growing
up.
Something Valentino or something like that. I think people often talk about that as like people who watched that show when it came out were like, yeah, and in the last episode, he reveals himself as if we're supposed to know who the fuck he is. He's like, this entire time, it was me, Raymond Valentino. Everyone was like, I don't know you.
Oh, no wonder I didn't remember the name of the show. Do you want to know the name of the show?
Hidden Secrets, The Magician's Code.
Breaking the Magician's Code. Magic's Biggest Secrets, finally.
Oh, hey, I got like seven of those words.
The word finally being in a TV show title, like...
That is funny.
Take a writing class. If you don't need the word, leave it
out. Shorten it up a little bit. Yeah. Brevity.
Breaking the Magician's Code. Magic's Biggest Secrets finally revealed. Finally ascended me. What the fuck?
Hey.
Who in the ideas session didn't think, like, let's drop finally?
No, everybody in the ideas session was like, we're getting paid per word. So let's see what else we can put in there. Yeah, I wish I had more memory retention for what he actually showed about how to do the tricks, but I don't remember too much of it. I do remember an episode of... do you remember Fool Me with Penn and Teller?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's still going on. That is not like a bygone thing.
Oh, that's good for them. I was watching, the only one where I was watching it live and could figure out how they did it was, it was so clearly, like, they wrote numbers on a whiteboard, kind of in, like, you know, like the classic black alarm clock with the red digits that, like, you know, you, like, have those little segments that make all the numbers. So it was very clearly, like, they wrote an 8 and changed it to a 5 by just having some of it be permanent ink and some of it being not permanent ink. And I was like, even I figured out how that one happened. Like, that's just, how is this guy on TV?
Cool. Do you want to get into the columns, or do you have anything else to say about magic?
Shout out to Phil's most viewed video, the video of him levitating, that his dad took.
Oh, Adrian, then, real quick. Think of any card and just put it front of mind. Put it front of mind. In a standard deck. Don't do any bullshit where when...
Oh, I was thinking of Blue Eyes White Dragon. talking about like a regular playing deck?
Four suits. 13 cards a suit, queen, king, jack, ace. All right, cool. Do you want to get to the questions?
Diversity of tactics when it comes to magic bits. I feel like we didn't even get like a broad statement about whether or not you even like magic.
I don't have anything against it. I wouldn't ever pay to go see a magic show if it's like a magic portion in a something else show. I'm not gonna be upset.
Damn, has to be in a variety show.
Yeah, you would pay to go see a magic show by itself? Like, you'd be like, oh, I'm just interested in magic.
If magic shows were more accessible and like a comedy like venue or something like that, where every Friday night they had like a magic show, it would absolutely be in my rotation. Are you kidding me? That's so fun. Cool. Well, yeah, I think we're ready for a column.
Adrian, I'm bringing in Merchant of Magic. It's magicshop.co.uk's advice column by Dominic Reeves. Matt writes, what close-up magic would you recommend for someone like me? I'm not very confident at performing tricks. The magic tricks go wrong when I try them on my mates.
Okay, so we got a British magician, probably some turf magician.
Have you ever seen a magician's trick go wrong? Amateur, professional?
No, I think I mostly watch polished magicians, so I don't think I really see too much of it going wrong.
It does seem really embarrassing and hard to, what are you supposed to do in that moment? I guess you do a Penn and Teller where you sprinkle in enough jokes that any mistake you can kind of pretend was a joke.
Well, for me, I've seen enough tricks where like getting it wrong the first time is part of the trick that I would probably still think he's got something going on.
That's what I mean. Like, you have to have the vibe that you're purposefully building it.
Oh, well, that's not like, I guess that is
mistakes.
Yeah. Like a false, yeah. I would recommend close-up magic, the two rings that look like you can't get them apart, but then you actually can.
How does that one work? Is there not just like you hold your hand over the hole at first and then spin it quickly? What's the actual?
I think so, right? There's just like a little slip that you can actually get them through or whatever that you can't really see. That always feels like cheating, though, if you're just buying something that's your trick. Have you ever, I feel like I've looked this up before, but when people do like the pouring milk into a newspaper cone, is that like, there's just a container there that somehow goes away, or how do they do that?
I'm not sure I know that trick really. Like, I sort of do, but it's like, it goes into it and then they unwrap the cone and there's no milk.
Yeah. And it's just like, boom, it's all gone.
Tube in the
hand. You think they just drink it really quick?
Tube down the sleeve.
Yeah. Tube down the sleeve.
I don't know.
I'm not very confident at performing tricks. The magic tricks go wrong when I try them on my mates.
What is this, like bar magic? Are you pulling dimes from behind their ear? Or sorry, pounds and pences?
What's the name of British coins? What are the British coins? Is it a pence? What about a quid? If it's not working when you're doing it on your friends, then I think you just have like a fundamental issue of performing the tricks, right? That shouldn't be a stressful situation.
Well, maybe he's one of those guys where he's it's a group of guy friends who really razzes each other, you know? Maybe he needs less judgmental pick someone, audience.
You gotta pick, like, kids to go practice in front of.
Whoa.
What?
Don't go practicing your magic outside the middle school, okay?
At the park.
Keep 500 feet away. The judge told you to. Just follow the rules.
Is that like a you as in you, or to the question asker? Because then he would have said meters if it was for the question asker.
That's really the only place that, like you said, comedy places are like maybe booking a magician with a comedian. But kids, parties are the only place where magicians are really getting booked locally otherwise, right?
You know, I wish more bars would do that, would like hire a magician to go around and just do tricks for people or something.
Oh, you mean yeah, other, instead of trivia night, there's magic night at the bar?
Yeah, there's magic night. People would love that. I think people would, I would absolutely love that.
I think with trivia, it's really obvious it's going on because like you get there and then you hear like, you know, you see somebody with like a sound system and a microphone. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, they're doing trivia here tonight. It would be so confusing if you showed up at a bar and there was just a magician.
Mm-hmm. It'd be cool, though, right?
It would be kind of cool.
See? See? You're getting onto it. You would like it.
I think just to make it clear to everybody what the situation is, he would have to dress as a magician. That should be part of it.
Yeah.
Like big black top hat.
Yeah, he'd have the
hat,
suit and the,
black
yeah,
cape.
The velvet little with the coattails or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or are we reinforcing negative stereotypes about who can be a magician?
Ooh, you're right.
Hmm.
Anybody can that? Be a magician.
Yeah. Not everybody can be a magician, but a great magician can come from anywhere.
Oh, that's true. Except for a rat. Mm-hmm. That's the one person that can't be a great magician.
That's, you know what? I'm standing on that right now. Until proven otherwise. Yeah, a classic... maybe if you know the advice column, you don't think you need to add context. But for us, I don't have that much to work up off of. Did we go through the categories of magic? Magic is the only delineation: close-up magic versus stage magic, or sleight of hand and cards versus like. I know some people. I have heard magicians say before that they specialize in cards. I know that.
I don't know. Well, if there's other, I think there's like sleight of hand cards and other types of card tricks too.
There's mentalist shit, right?
Yeah.
There's
which
disappearing
just seems
people,
like statistics
or?
In a lot of cases. It's just like, oh, yeah, I knew you were going to pick that because
think of a country that starts with K and 95% of people think of Kenya first or something like that.
Oh, you see, I would have gone Kazakhstan and ruined their set.
Oh, you'd have been like, my wife. And you'd be like, damn it, I forgot this guy loves Borat.
With that stuff, it's like, the amount it works, I'm like, are they hiring plants? Because they're like, oh, 70% of people pick this number. And it's like, that still doesn't seem like enough to confidently do that as a trick.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Well, then you get into like cold reading, which is, that's part of the scam. So we can't do that from the magic episode. But yeah, that is basically, I think that's more into that. I don't know what other kind of mentalist tricks there are that magicians use for things, but... Mm. Presumably there's something. I don't know.
I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks a lot of the times they're lying or plans because it's just like the way they'll be like, oh, earlier in the trick, I used the word giant. So when I said animal, I knew you were going to say elephant. And it's like, is the mind that malleable? Maybe I'm...
There are psychological studies that are like that, yeah. But it's like a statistically significant increase, not like a guarantee.
That's what I mean. Like, it feels like...
Yeah.
It sounds clever when you put it that way, but it also sounds like very finicky and not... workable enough to be like my whole set is based on this big reveal.
No, I think that's what I was saying about the guy who was jumping on boxes with knives is that a lot of magic is introducing a lie that there's uncertainty in what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, and then also, I mean, I guess we talked about this more on the phone than on the pod, but yeah, like the people who are like David Blaine, where they're magicians, but they do like crazy shit that can only really be done on TV because it's like Chris Angel takes a grown woman and turns her into a child and it's like, well, that's just editing or something. Like, I don't know. That like you can't do that trick. Have you ever seen, there was an episode of Chris Angel's Mind Freak
and
where...
And doesn't turn her back and he sends her home
with her
husband.
The implications of it are so insane. There was an episode of Chris Angel Mind Freak where the trick was he put his hands, not touching, but over a woman's boobs and grew her boobs. And I was like, that's not a magic trick. Like, what is going on here? What is even going on with this show?
You got to learn, like, bar tricks. You can't keep telling your friends, hey, come over at 5 p.m. next Wednesday. I got something to show you. And then you have this whole setup. I think you got to learn, like, little tricks that you can pepper into normal stuff you guys are doing together. I think it's a lot more nerve-wracking when you pull out the deck of cards and you tell everybody to stand around and wait. You're about to do something cool.
So wait, you didn't have fun when we were in the boardwalk in San Francisco and we went to that magic shop and the guy did magic tricks for us?
It was all right.
You didn't find that delightful?
That was an odd energy to that man. He was obviously trying to sell something and it felt very...
Yeah, it was only $60.
For 60 tricks.
Yeah, $1 a trick.
Got to think about the value. That felt like a place where if I was there and I was the dad in a family when we left, I would have been like, the magic trick is how much money you got out of me. That would have been a delightful little joke if my son bought something from in there.
Come on now. Come on. I like that you just let him buy something, though.
Oh, of course. Come on now.
Come on now. There's still magic in that young boy's heart. Or girl. Or NB.
You know any child of mine, I'm raising NB. Adrian, come on now.
Any child of mine, I'm raising to go to the NBA. We're not the same.
You would be such a good courtside dad.
Yeah. And my kid's definitely going to be 6'5".
Going to the media and being like, I turned him into a star. He owes everything to me.
Mm-hmm. I was a basketball dad. Any other advice for this guy? Or
no, I think we can get into the professional's advice. I do hope he has like something substantial about how to like make it seem like you were intending to do a different trick.
I mean, I was scrolling down to try and find when this was published, and I saw that he has like a whole bunch of lists of tricks. I think that's a big part of it, of which ones are easier to do.
Hi, Matt. Many thanks for getting in touch. This could be a common problem with people starting out in magic. We will, of course, help, but there's so much more to magic than just the tricks involved. True deception and truly fooling someone comes with a great performance, so we will try to help you with all of it. Firstly, try not to look at getting lots of new magic. Stop and try to look at why the magic tricks you have tried so far are going wrong. Most problems aren't solved simply by adding more tricks to your workload. Cut right back to a bare minimum of a few tricks to work on. Continuing to pile on new material just avoids having to do the real work of practice. We will of course help out as much as possible, but there is only so much we can do. It is your job to make sure you practice, 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 and learn all you can and focus on where you think you are going wrong. Confidence. You mentioned in your email that you are not very confident when you perform. Confidence can be a big problem because it will negatively impact what you do, because your mind will go blank, leading to hesitation. When you hesitate, you give people moments to look at things they shouldn't be paying attention to. Essentially, when you are not confident and nervous, you are not presenting magic like it should be, and people will catch you out as they are not misdirected or engaged. Build your confidence as a magician. Here's some advice from Ben Williams on the subject of confidence. Lacking confidence when you perform magic tricks doesn't mean all is lost. When I first started performing, I would shake violently, have heart palpitations, sweaty palms, blank mind, just about everything that you could have as a physical manifestation of fear and nerves I have personally experienced. Here is a blog post I wrote about overcoming nervousness. It talks about some of the things that really helped me, techniques like breathing, focusing your mind, and relaxing. Running before you can walk. If you have practiced your magic and know what moves you have to do and are not cheating yourself, the rest is all in your head. Magic tricks go wrong if you are not properly practicing your magic before going out to perform them. Lack of practice will lead to you naturally making mistakes. Make sure you are not cheating yourself and performing things too soon just because you are excited. Also, just because it goes right 5 times in a row in front of a mirror, that does not mean it is performance ready. When you perform in front of a group, the experience is very different to being in front of a mirror. Caring too much. This is a weird one. You should try not to care so much. Within your performance, try not to give off an intense vibe.
What kind of blogging software are they using where the font size randomly changes after a header?
I was gonna say, what the hell is
this? What is going on?
Also, can we acknowledge, not very well written. I know I'm stuttering through it, but I feel like it's because the sentences aren't so oddly structured.
Hey, he's a magician, not a wordsmith.
Oh my god. Within your performance, try not to give off an intense vibe. Try to relax and act like nothing bothers you. If something goes wrong, it goes wrong. It really isn't the end of the world. If people try to make you feel bad for getting it wrong by laughing or stating how badly it went wrong, then shrug it off. Never get into an argument or try to deny that it went wrong. This will only inflame the situation. Instead, you can say something like, yep, this wasn't at all like when I learned it at Hogwarts. This will get a laugh and diffuse the situation for you.
Come on now.
We love a script. If you can relax, they will stop trying to figure it out how it works and begin enjoying it. With all of that being said, here are some suggestions of great magic to help you ease into it. These are all pretty much self-working, so you can concentrate on your performance. Basically, I will list a whole load of links to help you out, Maddie.
You can skip the links and just go to the last sentence, I think. If you're interested, you can go check out the article linked in there.
Well, I mean, it just reminds you that this is a blog for a shop. So, clearly, they build in trying to do some product placement. We hope this helps, Matt. Please let us know if there's anything else we can do for you.
All right, I had two thoughts. Mm-hmm. One, you mentioned the thing about the prototypical idea of what a magician looks like. Do you have strong opinions about the fact that, like, every magician has terrible style?
Oh, yeah, they really do all look like dweebs, right? It's all
they all
like...
look like the way they do their hair, the way they, like, spike it or whatever, and, like, they, like, Chris Angel has, like, the metal look that looks stupid, and, like, other magicians. I'm thinking of some one other dude who, like,
they're, like,
yeah,
all,
like,
they look like new metal band members.
Yeah.
That's, like,
kinda, yeah. But, like, scrawnier, yeah.
Yeah. What is up with that? Why is that, like,
or
culturally
is David
who
Blaine's
are?
Thing that he's just, like, kind of a schlubby everyman? That's kind of his thing that he has going on. But he's still not rizzed out or anything. Like, yeah, there's no Penn and Teller, like, just kind of do the classic look. I guess that's maybe the best you could hope to do.
Skinny Guy Fieri is, like, a thing they go for.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, if you can really do magic, you'd have a ton of money. You should be wearing really fancy clothes. I want my magicians to have Gucci on.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on that? I thought it was good advice.
I like the one really solid piece of advice, the, like, really actionable piece of advice, where if you make a mistake, you say, this isn't how I learned it at Hogwarts, to cut the tension.
Oh, that's what you liked? Okay. The turf shade. Okay. You did not end that sentence the way I thought you were going to. I thought you were going to say the really actionable advice of stop trying to learn new shit and just nail down the shit you already know to the point where you actually know how to do it, and then you'll build confidence that way.
Which is funny, because that felt like the real advice, and then they pivoted to, but you should learn new shit because that makes us more money. Here's the links of all the stuff you can buy.
Yeah.
They definitely had a little bit of a two-faced thing going on there with the real advice, and then the, the whole point of this blog is to increase sales.
All right. Cool. You want to get a mic on?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So this is from Slate Good Job, their job-focused advice column. This one goes a little something like this. My colleague is a super fan of a very controversial franchise, and she's forcing it on all of us. By Laura Helmuth from May 15th, 2025. Here we go. Dear Good Job, I work in a niche hospital role. There are three of us on shift, about seven total on my shift. Without getting into the weeds, we are supposed to respond when we are needed, but otherwise we can use our time as we feel like. In our break room, we have a TV. I'm not a confrontational person. This is where the problem lies with my coworker, Jane, quote unquote. See, Jane always just uses the TV and doesn't ask for input or permission. Sometimes I'm watching something on my phone or reading, and she'll turn it on anyways. But that isn't the focus of the letter. Jane is a major Harry Potter fan. Think stickers all over the place, talking about the new store that opened up, watching the movies at least once a year, always taking related quizzes, and recently talking about how excited she is for the new show. While I was an older teen when the books came out, it really resonated with me. In a different world, we could absolutely be bonding over this. However, in the world we live in, J.K. Rowling is anti-trans and now anti-asexual.
Wait, I have my not child seen, is, we'll talk about it later, but I did not know she was anti-asexual. When did that happen?
What? Yeah.
Who cares? That's so funny to be bigoted against asexuals. Okay.
My child is non-binary. I have close friends who are trans or non-binary. Continuing to support this anyway is a no-go for me. I've attempted to talk to Jane about this, but it's gone nowhere. I mean, yes, she is bad, but she isn't Harry Potter. I know she's going to watch the show at work. She watches a lot of shows at work. I don't want anything to do with it, but I also want to enjoy our break room. It's hard to find other places to watch my own things or read. It's annoying enough that she takes over the TV regularly. Right now, when she watches the movies, I leave the room. But is there a better option? We have to work together and be on the same team, and I've already seen how telling her outright to turn off the TV has gone. She barely spoke to that coworker for a month. From Not a Potterhead. Magic. The magic of friendship, the magic of coworking, the magic of Harry Potter.
The question asker sounds like an adult with a full life.
Mm-hmm.
And the person they're complaining about sounds like such a loser. I want to be...
She niche.
I want to be on the question asker side because it is annoying that they're so obsessed with Harry Potter, but they sound pitiable more than it's worth arguing. You know what I mean? I don't know how to put what I'm trying to say. Obviously, usually I think it would be annoying to have a massive Harry Potter fan in my life, and I would probably razz that person a lot if they were like
a friend.
Yeah. But like, this person is so into it that it goes from like, I don't want to make fun of them in a jovial we're friends way because I don't think I'd be friends with them, and it would become bullying. It's really pitiable how much they're into, like, it seems like this is their special interest and they might even be on the spectrum a little bit.
Ooh, doing some diagnosis right now. Okay.
Maybe let this person live and not make them feel bad about themselves.
Oh, so your advice is just ignore it and continue on forever.
No, it is annoying. You should probably figure out how to set rules about TV time or something.
I mean, here's the thing, though. You being in the room with a Harry Potter movie is not financially supporting J.K. Rowling. That part I don't really get.
Yeah.
Like, that part is like, that's like a form of protest where it's like, who gives a shit?
I just don't want to watch Harry Potter that often.
Yeah.
That's a bigger deal.
But that new show's coming out. They gotta watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think this is the kind of Harry Potter fan who's like racially abusing the new cast? Or what kind of Harry Potter fan do you think this is?
Oh, probably not. Because, right, when they bring up that J.K. Rowling's anti-trans, it's not like she's saying she gets upset at us and tells us how dare you. Seems like this person is more on the tip of like, oh, yeah, I've just separated it. I don't care.
Art from the artist. Right. Yeah. So you didn't know about the asexual thing?
No. What's her issue with asexuals?
I can't remember exactly. I think it might have been a screed about the need for people to reproduce. I can't remember, though. I don't want to put that on her. That's not Joanne's opinion.
So her brain has really been rotted by the internet. It is funny how it's like you can't exist in those spaces for so long without like the other pernicious aspects of it like leaking into your life.
I want to say, again, I should look this up instead of just saying it without knowing for sure, but I want to say it was something about like no one wants to hear about your sexuality type thing, where she was like, nobody cares if you don't fancy a shag or whatever. We don't need to see or hear your opinion about it.
Yeah, kind of rich coming from somebody where everybody who was a fan of her is like a progressive person who's like, please shut the fuck up. If her problem is like, we don't need to hear from you. Isn't that a majority of her fan base's reaction to a lot of her modern output?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't know why I saw this recently, but I saw that part of her, you know how everybody makes fun of her for how she names characters?
I was going to bring that up, yeah.
I was looking at a list of the characters that people make fun of, and one of them was not even from the books. In a tweet, somebody was like, hey, I'm a big fan of Harry Potter, but I'm Jewish, and somebody told me there was no Jewish wizards, and she replied to them and went, yes, there is. There's Anthony Goldstein in Ravenclaw.
Oh, nice.
She has such a special mind. I love her. And putting them in Ravenclaw also kind of seems insulting to me in a weird way. Like,
yeah.
Just go against the stereotype for a second, just to like, so people don't think you're leaning into it. Please.
The tweet that I saw was about the character Seamus, who was apparently really bad at magic. So he's the kid who always, like, his magic spell blows up.
Yeah.
And so Finnegan. It was like the thing about, like, naming or having that be the characteristic for an Irish character. J.K. Rowling is teaching me how to be racist in ways I didn't know about.
The name Seamus Finnegan.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Okay, but we should give some more actionable advice.
Turn the TV off like Kendrick Lamar said.
Ooh.
Pretend to break the TV. Well, pretend it's broken. Put a broken sign on it. See how long you can get away with that. Also, if the punishment, I guess the thing is like work cohesion, but the thing about like, oh, someone said something about how she uses the TV, which by the way, baseline is rude to just assume that you get to be in control of the TV. That's part of it we haven't even talked about. But the fact that it was like, oh, they didn't talk to that coworker for a month. One of those things where it's like, well, that sounds like a blessing, but then also they do work together and they have to work together. So like,
it's one of seven people who you work with on your team, it sounds like.
By the way, cool job. It kind of sounds like, I don't know, to like where your job is like you're here as needed. If you're not needed, do whatever the fuck you want.
I think a lot of doctors are, well, I don't know, maybe they're like a specialty nurse and a lot of times like maybe.
Yeah, like they need someone for a specific procedure or something like that. And so
a lot of it is downtime. Because Scrubs did make it seem like that was a large part of hospitals, is like you have to sleep there sometimes when you're not like busy. just so you can get enough
sleep.
Working
like 14-hour shifts. Yeah. I don't know. I shadowed an ER doctor once, and it was a lot of paperwork, but there wasn't a lot of like her just sitting around watching TV. Have you ever had a coworker like this who controls the space in a weird way?
No, but I mean, we actually like you said about the paperwork, we're actually kind of all heads down most of the day, just hanging out in a shared space.
When I worked at Trader Joe's, I had people who were, I think, were overly amenable to other people, where like I would get to work like an hour early after being in class all day. So I would either take a nap, or sometimes when I was into meditation, I would try meditating. So like someone came into the room once while I was meditating and like said sorry for making noise or whatever. And I was like, it's our work. Like, I can't mandate that everyone be quiet because I'm meditating in here. You can do whatever you want in here. It's insane to think otherwise.
Yeah. I do think like maybe be like, hey, let's set a schedule for the TV time just so that not one person monopolizes it. But I do think, like you said, it's a little ridiculous. Who cares? Don't let what's on the TV trigger you. Like,
you can still just hang out on your phone. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not that big a deal. It seems like you're really letting the idea that a person with different politics exists with you upset you. That's just a part of working. You're not going to agree with your coworkers on everything. And if TV time's a part of it, yes, they might watch shows that have canceled people or were made by canceled people. I don't know.
Or just suck, yeah. Do you think that this is the these are like the HRT staff in the hospital?
Oh, that would be wild.
That would be crazy. I feel like they would have mentioned that if that was part of it.
Yeah, that we work with. I feel like if we work with trans kids was a part of it, that would have been in their list of like, you know, I have a non-binary kid, and what else was list of things that made it particularly...
They have trans friends.
They have trans friends.
Well, they said trans and non-binary, which I was under the assumption in my current education that non-binary is trans, but... Maybe they're saying
you're trying to outwoke the asker. Cancels up.
Well, no, I'm saying that was my understanding, but maybe that's just I don't know.
Oh no, I think it does count. Yeah, non-binary, it's trans. Okay, but more goofy advice.
I don't think any of your friends are going to be proud of you for walking out of the room as protest. I don't know. Also, it seems like don't you guys have like a cafe or something? You guys don't have like a I mean, right? Don't they get you from your pager? Did doctors still do that? Couldn't you just go to somewhere close by? I don't know.
Well, it seems like that's what she does, right? I guess I'll take them at their word. I walk out of the room. I don't know. The public cafe probably has a lot of people in it.
Yeah, she doesn't have another place to go, is what she's saying. Like, their break room is the main place to hang out.
I don't know. The break room is probably a better place. Like, a public hospital's cafe is going to be full of a lot of, like, you know.
Uggos?
Yeah, it's a public spot.
Yeah.
A lot of sad families. I don't know if that's where I want to be spending my time.
You should introduce her to... Oh, you know what? That's like serious advice that I've gotten from like teacher subreddits is like, here are all of the fantasy series that are way better than Harry Potter. Get your kid into this instead. They'll like it better. Which may not be true because Harry Potter clearly has like some staying power with people.
Yeah, Harry Potter. But somebody who likes Harry Potter this much, what they like about it is that there's like, you know, Reddits about it and people are still constantly discussing the characters. It's, you know, it's like a part of a whole world that they're into. It's not so much that they just like, you couldn't just make another piece of magic children media and they would like it as much, even if it was, you know, objectively a very well-made piece of media.
Yeah.
It does seem like a lot of people who initially gravitated strongly to Harry Potter, and it was obviously massively popular in our culture, so a broad swath of people liked it, but it seems like it had the largest staying power for a progressive kind of tumblery audience. So that's what makes it so crazy that J.K. Rowling is anti-trans, because I think if she wasn't, it would probably be most, like, I would say that trans people would like it more than most people on average. Like, it would statistically be more popular with, like, queer people.
The Polyjuice potion is really a trans allegory. Are we supposed to acknowledge the fact that we're two guys who are making fun of people in a fandom that are probably most likely women?
It does seem like it probably bends women, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm the one that bans women. Come on now, brother. Come on. Right after I just said, let's have consideration for being misogynistic.
No, I don't really care about arguments like that. I think it's stupid, but...
Let's rip into them then. You should get the Harry Potter game. That'll be fun. Play that on the TV.
What's it? Oh, like those old box games where it's like a quiz and you select the right answer from the DVD?
No, the one that came out like 2 years ago, right? The one that's on the...
Yeah, like the open world game. Okay.
Yeah. That seems more silent, I guess. I don't know.
You think they got a PS5 up in there?
Probably. I assume you donated one to the hospital. I was at the gym today, and I noticed when I was on my treadmill, there was a sticker on the bottom of it that said, miles from this treadmill raise money for St. Jude's Hospital. And so I immediately started looking over, and none of the other treadmills had a sticker on them. And I was like, we just have the one? That's the one that, like, why shouldn't they have somebody on this at all times? Why are they not telling people about this?
Adrian started running and also, on it, and then an athletic guy came in, and you were like, brother, you take this one.
You take the wheel, brother. We got kids to save. Why am I in charge of this? This is the most bizarre thing. I don't even know how that, like, I don't know. I don't even know
Adrian's
how that works.
Still recording from in that gym. He's like, I can't stop, man.
I'm doing it. 24 hours straight for the kids. Ooh, should you tell them that you're religious and you can't watch Harry Potter because it's witchcraft?
Ooh, would they respect that
way,
more?
If there's like a discrimination suit, then it's like a HR issue.
But then you can't watch anything bad after that. Next time they walk in and you're watching, I don't know what else, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Sex Lives of College Girls.
Ooh.
Why name your show in a way that's going to get your husband canceled for watching it? That's what I don't understand. The Secret Sex Lives of College Girls? I don't actually remember what the full name of that show is. Wait, no. The Finally Revealed Secret Sex Lives of College Girls.
The Finally.
That was a Pierce and Nicole story where when I couldn't fulfill a house sitting obligation, they had someone else do it. And they were just like, oh yeah, we came back on the TV. Nicole noticed that The Secret Sex Lives of College Girls had been recently watched.
And it was you?
No, I just said I wasn't able to fulfill the house sitting obligations, but... Yeah.
It was somebody else? Damn.
Yeah, it was the house sitter, yeah. You heard how I handled this situation. I guess I didn't think about the connection between this and the story I told earlier, but my connection is just to gripe about it later. Or my solution is just to gripe about it later.
It sounds like they've had, like, little back and forth about it.
It seems like they've made the point about J.K. Rowling before, but...
Oh, you think the person watching the coworker when they walk out, whenever they put on Harry Potter, isn't noticing? Like, she doesn't realize how much it's annoying, the question asker?
No, they had the quote about her defending J.K. Rowling, so they've definitely had the conversation before, at least, or someone's made the point to her.
Yeah, but I'm saying following that, you think she doesn't realize how big a deal it is? Or do you think she does realize how big a deal it is and is kind of doing her own point of, I don't care?
Yeah, I think it's a Disney adult thing where, like, they're just like, I don't know, I just care about what I want to do.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Better or worse than if this was a Disney adult and they were constantly replaying Frozen and...
Well, then I'd be worried that I'm working with a 4-year-old, but at least Disney has a big enough canon that you could get through like a whole bunch of shit before repeating. Like, does Harry Potter actually have that much media to consume?
And honestly, if they were playing the classics, I would be like, you know, I've never actually watched Snow White. At least I'm like learning what this is about for the references.
I've never seen the cobbler, the prince and the cobbler. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would care if somebody wanted to watch Harry Potter around me. Like I said, I think...
Well, again, you're not the one putting money in her pockets.
Yeah. I think my impulse is to tease somebody about J.K. Rowling's annoying behavior. I don't really...
That's when you walk out and say, I don't fuck with this turf shit, you know? Yeah. You gotta have your little line that you say, your little quippy.
The vibe I got just made this coworker seem like, yeah, like maybe a Disney adult with a slightly, like, just... Maybe they just have an odd personality and just let them like something problematic because it gives them a lot of happiness.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
I don't think they have a problem with your trans friends or your MB kid. Maybe just take it as a W that they're not a bigot, you know, and let them like their media.
All right. You want to read the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Dear Not a Potterhead, for anyone reading this who remembers J.K. Rowling as the author of a popular kids book series whose protagonist overcomes adversity to realize his true identity, I have some bad news for you. Rowling has turned into a bully who uses her fame and fortune to spread misinformation and bigotry against transgender and asexual people, and is generally a jerk on social media. Plenty of authors are jerks, of course, and people argue endlessly about whether you can love the art and hate the artist. But Rowling stands out because she's picking on the most vulnerable victims and celebrating their persecution. Supporting her work gives her even more evil powers. You tried to talk to Jane, and ideally she would have said, "What? I had no idea. How cruel. She is dead to me now." Or at least, "These stories mean a lot to me, but I understand why the movies are offensive to you, and I'll stop playing them." Instead, Jane imposes her choices on colleagues and shuns anyone who asks her to consider others. The specific question is about Harry Potter, but the general principle for workplace disagreements is one that any fan of kid lit should appreciate. Find a creative compromise. you could ask her to watch her Harry Potter reruns on her own device and use headphones. The good news is that the TV series likely won't premiere until 2026 or 2027, so you have some buffer time before you'll be subjected to it. You could schedule TV-free quiet hours in the break room, or you could suggest alternate programming that would be fun for everyone to watch. Maybe Wallace and Gromit movies, Doctor Who, or anything starring Pedro Pascal, who recently criticized Rowling for her heinous loser behavior.
More Star Wars media for Adrian to enjoy.
Oh, yeah. I asked people on Blueski for recommendations of shows that are charming and dramatic and won't enrich a transphobe. And the thread has some excellent ideas. Blue Planet documentaries, Spirited Away, Cozy Mysteries, Lord of the Rings, and many more. Good luck, and thanks for sticking up for your child and friends, even when they're not in the room.
I asked for recommendations for media that won't enrich transphobes. Isn't that like 99.99% of media?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think one that I would recommend, Neil Gaiman. I think he has a new show coming out.
Does he really? They haven't canceled all his projects?
That was a discussion online about, like, the director coming out and being like, you know, canceling this project hurts a lot of minority artists who worked on it, right?
Oh, my God.
So they were like, you know, it actually does way more harm than good for us to cancel this project.
I would have respected it more if they were like, I don't care. That would be a more respectable reply than...
Really?
Yeah. It really would be to me. It's so fucking annoying to say shit like that.
All right. Anything about that answer?
I mean,
to me, imposing quiet hours seems equally tyrannical as imposing what you want to watch.
Yeah. It seemed fine.
All right. You ready for a third Seggy?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're doing a classic. Everybody knows this one. We are rating the bars. Paul is going to give an objective rating to these bars. I got 16 to do a bracket, but then I think it makes more sense to just do a rating on each one. I don't think we actually need to hear them multiple times and figure out which one's the best. So if you want to do a random number generator, 1 through 16, I will read you the lyric. I'll give you the artist and the song, and you just have to tell me how you rate those bars as a master barsmith. To break down the methodology a little bit, I used Genius, which lets you use a search lyric function. I looked up Magic. I looked up Houdini. I looked up Chris Angel. I looked up David Copperfield. And I looked up Magic Trick or something like that. So those are all the keywords that we're using to try and find these crazy bars.
Got number 8 first.
Number 8. All right. This is... I couldn't figure out if this is an actual rapper or not, but this is Wes Walker. When you look him up, a football player comes up. It's a song called Jordan Belfort, and the lyrics are...
That's a guy from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. Who was Chong's prison mate?
Who's Chong's?
Cheech and Chong.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You told me that. You were the one who told me that.
Well, I forgot it. You can know things and then forget it.
I don't think I would call that not knowing that, though.
Well, how am I supposed to know that I once knew it? The whole thing is that I forgot it.
This is getting too philosophical. Stacking Gouda, feta, cheddar cheese, and ravioli. Or maybe fettuccine, dirty martini. I'ma fuck yo bitch. Call me Houdini.
That's 1 star. I'm going to do a 5-star
system. 1 star?
There was nothing magical about the previous lines.
You got to be magic to fuck his bitch.
No. I'm going to want actual play on them doing a magic trick.
Yeah, that one's kind of egregious. It didn't really make any sense. It just rhymed. But being able to fuck his bitch doesn't make you Houdini. That wasn't his thing. That wasn't Houdini's thing.
Houdini used to go up on stage and he'd be like, for my next trick, everybody.
For my next trick. I'm out here going from the back like,
For my next trick, everybody look next to you. Is your wife still there? No, she's in my bed. Bye.
I'm out. See you guys. All right, who we got next?
3.
This is from Doja Cat, Need to Know. Sorry if I gave a random erection. Probably thinking I'm a telekinetic. Oh, wait, you a fan of the magic? Poof, pussy like an alakazam. I don't think any of that rhymed, right?
Yeah, but maybe it worked in the song. Definitely thematically was more about magic.
Yeah, random erections.
Most magic thing of all. Telekinetic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because she's moving that thing with her mind. Okay. Yeah.
I'll give it 3
stars.
Shout
out to Doja. Doja was at the halftime performance for the Club World Cup final.
Do we want to shout out Doja? Doesn't she do like edgy shit?
What? Just because she shows feet and for free to Nazis? What's bad about that? She's still a baddie.
Okay. Fair enough.
15. This is Drake, 8 out of 10. Your favorite, Drizzy. And the product is still the best, though. It's only good in my city because I said so. Just to fit the estate, man, I had to Copperfield like presto. Voila, ta-da. Ad lib, true.
Okay, so it's something about, like, I guess he make, like, does David Copperfield have a trick where, like, a room seems like it shouldn't fit something and he makes it fit?
No, a lot of these aren't nearly as deep. A lot of these are just, like, people are magic people. Maybe that's true. Maybe I'm not giving the boy enough credit. Just to fit the estate, man, I had to Copperfield like presto. Yeah, I don't actually really know what he's trying to say there.
Seems like maybe there's a specific trick his ghostwriter was trying to mention. I'll give it 2 stars.
Okay, you're not even giving credit to Drizzy. Okay, that's crazy.
Number one.
Number one, and this is the number one bar from Eminem, Taking My Ball. I'm like Houdini. Tuck my teeny eeny weeny between each of my thighs and make it disappear like a genie. Make that shit disappear like Tara Reid in a bikini. Believe me, homie, you don't know the meaning of a meanie.
5 stars. Come on now. That was,
5 stars to Eminem. Okay. All right. Okay. Because he tucks his penis in, makes it disappear like that Houdini does, and like a genie.
The flow and the way the rhymes work did feel like it must be a new Eminem song. It didn't feel like classic era when he was good. It felt like something overly thought out from a new song.
I mean, even when I was reading it, I was thinking about those, like, Paint the Bars videos where I was like, oh, this one would just be, like, he's hitting that theme so hard.
Yeah, it really...
It'd all be the same color.
It reads, like, almost the new overly mechanical, overly technical Eminem.
Oh, yeah. I'm like Houdini, tuck my teeny, weeny, 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 weeny. All right, who's next?
Do you know what era that's from or what song?
Oh, Eminem Taking My Ball? I can look it up. 2009.
Okay.
From Refill? All right.
6.
Let me know as you go through these, if you're sensing like a certain pattern or a certain overused way of doing these bars. This is from Lil Wayne, No Worries. That camel toe, no worries, no pantyhose. These dudes falling off like baggy clothes. I smoke more than a magic show.
Okay, there is smoke at a magic show. 4 stars. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I thought it was all right. The bars about camel toes I can take or leave, but like that is a good bar. I smoke more than a camel. And more interesting than what I think you'll see a lot of people do with these magic bars.
14.
This is from Ian, XXL freshman, had a viral freestyle.
Dude, that freestyle was so bad. And did you read the YouTube comments on it? I was expecting a bunch of people to be like, dick riding, but oh my god, the comments were all...
I don't know what his fan base is, yeah.
The comments were roasting him. It was so funny.
Dude, that one that was like, at first it seems like he's not doing a good job, but when you really listen, you realize it's garbage.
Dude, what I did like that one. I was scrolling through the comments cracking up. There was one that was like, this is the best freestyle ever, and if you think I'm wrong, you'd be 100% right.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. That was funny. All right, so this is Ian, Dealer. Let's see what he has to say about this shit. I'ma keep stacking it thicker and getting that gone, feeling like a magician or some, huh? He don't really do much thinking. He heard one song and made a decision about me, huh? Talking about you, Paul. They gonna hate on Ian cause he doing it better, huh? Way I get this shit could probably fool Penn and Teller, huh?
I'll give that 2 stars.
Calls you out, and how do you feel about that?
Oh, for judging him based on one song? I'm sorry, Ian. I gotta listen to your discography.
Alright, so 2 stars for that one.
11.
11. Okay. This is the only rapper I don't think I know on the list. This is Montana of 300 from the song Ice Cream Truck. My mask on, my gloves on, so I don't give a fuck who see me. That semi-pop and start sending shots. I'll put you in a box like Houdini.
It's boring, but it sounds like it could work in a song where it sounds hard.
It's kind of hard.
But
it's kind of hard. It almost sounds like battle rap bars. Like, I kind of like, yeah. Putting someone in a box.
But
is a little
I am
battle
judging
rap shit.
These on how much they actually work as a magic bar. And I think that one's also a
Houdini was in a box.
Yeah, but it's a 2. It's like a bare minimum. I've mentioned something appearing and disappearing.
Okay. All right. A tough but fair critic. That's what they always say about Paul and his bars. This is Andre 3000 off of Miss Jackson, so you probably know the song. I don't know if you picked out the lyrics. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, ooh, I am Houdini.
Oh, that he does say that.
Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could become a magician to abracadabra all the sadder thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of he.
5 stars.
Are you going on Reputation for that one, or did you actually really like that bar?
Well, I can't. Come on. Come on, it's Andre.
Oh, okay, okay. All right.
You're right. If we're going by the criteria I was using before, three stars.
Three stars for three stacks. Number 9. This is from Migos, Pipe It Up. Oh, this is the only one where I forgot to actually list out the actual rapper that said it in the verse, but this is someone in... Oh, maybe it's Quavo, now that I think about it. Feeling like Aladdin, Quavo the genie, I grant your hoe three wishes, genie. You know I do magic, Quavo Houdini, I touch the pack and get it missing.
It's so funny to have to give Andre three stars and then be like, that was very on theme, it was about magic, he mentioned magic multiple times. He was talking about genies and three wishes, five stars. That's on theme.
Very clearly, people like the genie Houdini connection for magic. You're not going to say anything about feeling like Aladdin, Quavo the genie. If you feel like Aladdin, you're not the genie. You're Aladdin. You're Aladdin.
I think he's saying he feels like the movie Aladdin. Like he's in it.
He feels like the movie Aladdin because he's the genie.
Feeling
okay,
like I'm Aladdin.
All right. I grant your hoe three wishes. Grant my hoe wishes is pretty fun. That's. I'm glad you're doing that. You know I do magic, Quavo Houdini, I touch the pack and get it missing. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of these are disappear bars. Like, I don't know if you know the song Houdini by Dua Lipa, but that's the chorus of it is, like, I come and I go Houdini or whatever.
I do.
That seems to be the most common way of doing that. I come and
I touch the pack, make it, what was the line? I touch the pack.
And get it missing.
That's referencing sleight of hand. Like, he's actually talking about magic throughout.
Okay.
16.
This is Big Boy off of She Said Okay.
Oh, okay. We went straight from Andre to Big Boy. Okay.
Yeah. Monday night, Atlanta, Georgia. They say all the hoes at magic. See, no, I'm no David Copperfield, but I'm sure I can pull a rabbit. See, I'm adamant. When I see something I want, I reach out and grab it.
Okay. So that's really more about strip clubs. He's at magic. He's no David Copperfield, but he could pull a rabbit. I don't know what pull a rabbit is a metaphor for. Is that like a hot woman?
Pulling a hot chick.
Yeah, okay.
But I think Magic City is a big strip club in Atlanta, so there are a lot of references to that.
I don't know. Yeah. It's good, and it's on theme, but it's really more about stripping than magic. I'll give it 4 stars, but it does get close to being like that. I like that it's thematically consistent.
Okay. They met the challenge of this third segment, which was to write about magic.
We are judging people by a criteria they did not know they were going to be judged by.
The best way to do this.
4.
Okay, this is from Eminem again, from Unaccommodating. I think there were like 7 or 8 Eminem ones, and I had to kind of pick the ones that I liked the best or I thought were the most interesting. That's why they call me Kamikaze. It's plain suicide, yeah. But I know magic, and here go my last trick. I'm about to say abracadabra and pull a bee rabbit out of my hat.
Ooh, okay. Was the next verse from Bee Rabbit's point of view? Because that would add a point. But,
Yeah, it was. No comment on Kamikaze, it's plain suicide.
Oh.
That's a bar.
Yeah, but it doesn't add anything to the magic motif.
No, but I did think that was pretty good.
I'll give that a 3.
Okay, 3. Pull a bee rabbit out of my hat, okay. This is from Lil Wayne, 3-peat, another person who I had to limit to 2 entries. 2 more inches, I'd have been in that casket. According to the doctor, I could have died in traffic. Bounce right back on them bitches like magic. Abracadabra, I'm up like Viagra.
1 star.
What? But he's talking about real life pain and issues that he's gone through and how he's bouncing back on people like
lyrics.
Magic.
I'm just saying.
And he's up like abracadabra. Like magic, like Viagra. What did you find objectionable about that?
Nothing's objectionable. It just felt like the magicness of it was very superfluous. He really could have subbed that for a lot of different things.
Okay. Bounce right back on them bitches.
Maybe I'm
like
becoming
magic.
A harsher critic as we go on. Maybe that would have been a 2 or 3 earlier. And now it's like, oh, we've seen a lot of like abracadabra. I could have been blank things.
But is there a connection about like bounce right back on them bitches is a Magic Johnson or who's the basketball player? So like that connects it to abracadabra.
I think you're stretching here. I think you're one of those guys on Genius trying to be like.
This is actually a quadruple entendre.
You're Stretch Armstrong over here. 7.
7. Tyga off the song Hookah. Come hop on this Kush jet and take a flight. Yeah, tell them bitches, fuck that. You with Aladdin, bet I got a magic carpet for that ass. Yes, I'm also on one, got 2 Olsons on me.
Oh, thank God. When you said Taiga, I was like, if this is a really good, I'm going to feel so bad giving him a higher score than some of these other people. No, that's like one, maybe two.
I think that was another one where nothing rhymed in all four of those lines. Come hop on this cush jet and take flight. Yeah, tell them bitches, fuck that. You with Aladdin, but I got a magic carpet for that ass. Yes, I'm also on one. Got two Olsons on me. Yeah, that's very bad. It's very poor quality.
What's the Olsons? Like, I don't think he had a relationship with either of the Olsons. Is that a white girl as a reference for cocaine? What is that even about?
Got two Olsons. I think it just means he's got two white women on him who people think are attractive and very witchy.
10.
Ooh, okay, maybe the most recent entry on this list. This is Pusha T off of Ace Trumpets. Sold ecstasy and disappeared. I am Houdini. Look at them, him and him, still waiting on Yeezy. I hope you got your squeegees at your interviews. I just kiki.
Really, Houdini disappear. I mean, one again.
You're not even going to talk about how this is a double entendre?
Where's the double entendre?
So not only did I read the Genius thing, but I was watching the Genius video breakdown. And in the video, Malice is actually in real time being like, oh shit, I just got that. Houdini, spelled H-O-D-I-N-I, the rap group, is comprised of multiple members, including Ecstasy.
Oh, that's cool. Doesn't make it any more magical.
Damn. Okay. All right. No magic in wordplay, says Paul.
5.
All right. This is the thing that inspired it all. Big Sean, All Right, a song where he's featured on. I made something out of nothing. Sean Don the Magician. She doing tricks with her pussy. I guess she's a magician.
I love that even in just a random short set of bars, he does the whole using his name, Sean Don.
If it's the flow well. Sean Don the Magician.
Magician is kind of, that's a funny phrase. We can't deny that.
Pretty magical. It's magically delicious.
We'll give that 3 stars.
All right. Is there anything left or is that it?
13.
13. Oh, well, okay. We left one of the only non-rap songs. This is a battle rap round. Are you familiar with Illmaculate or Chilla Jones?
No. Are those racehorses?
What? Yeah, those are racehorses. This is Illmaculate rapping at Chilla Jones. Chilla, you did it. I did it better with little effort. Breaking this trick down, my pen is Penn and Teller. Teleport your inner dweller. The heckler metal enter your cerebellum.
Another Penn and Teller one. I'll give it 2.
Breaking this trick down, my pen is Penn and Teller. Are you kidding me?
Okay. 4. 4. You're right.
All right. Double it up. Double it up for Ill, man. It was crazy. All right. Was that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
We did have a long string of ones there at the end, and I think it's just because I was getting used to the, like, Houdini make it disappear bars.
Yeah. There are a lot of worse ones that I didn't put in here. It could have been way more repetitive and worse.
You know how it's like rappers will have these, like, really crazy... Did we do this for Pierce episode? Did we do this for Pierce's episode?
We did wrestling bars, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, they seem to have a much deeper knowledge of wrestling where they can actually make it, like, really crazy, yeah, like, references. It seems like when rappers are talking about magic, it's really just like Houdini, Penn and Teller.
What I was going to say was it almost seems like it's people who didn't grow up engaged with magic. So the way they know Houdini is a rapper from an older rapper saying disappear like Houdini. And you're like, oh, Houdini's some dude who disappears things. Okay, I can use that in my rhyme.
It's a mix of like that and Aladdin references. Yeah.
A little bit of Copperfield. No Chris Angel. No Chris Angel references. I should have looked up David Blaine. I don't think that was one of my key terms. It's an easy thing to rhyme.
So yeah, I think it really just shows that, and me and you clearly don't know a lot about magicians or like magic either. So it seems like, I don't know, it just, it doesn't culturally permeate like that. Like I think people engage with magic when it's forced on them at a show and that's about it.
We're not going to go with, it's just more of a white person thing.
Oh, you think so? You think, like, if we had a white person on this episode as a guest, they would be like, oh, my favorite magicians, my top 5, my Rushmore of magicians?
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's white and niche is the issue.
That would be crazy if we found out, like, if we got, like, you know how some episodes we get texts from a bunch of people that are like, why didn't you talk about this? Or you forgot to mention this.
Yeah. Why didn't you talk about Jonathan, the amazing Jonathan?
Yeah. If after this episode, everybody came out of the woodworks to be like in our lives that were like, you guys knew nothing about magic. You forgot my favorite magician. It'll happen.
It happened from Luke.
All right. Cool. Big facts, no cap. How did you feel about my ratings? Did you feel like, I don't know, did you have favorites that I gave a low score or
There were none of them that I would have given 5 to, I think, is the only thing. Other than that, yeah, they're just generally kind of okay.
Oh, yeah, I gave a 5 to number 9. Who was that? Was that M?
Quavo?
Oh, that was Quavo. Oh, and number 1.
No, Eminem and 1, yeah. That was Quavo, and it was, yeah, Eminem.
Okay.
Eminem. All right, Big Fact No Cap, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it. Adrian, working on this episode of Big Facts No Cap with you, if I had to describe it in one word, magical.
And Paul, if I was going to describe in one word working on this episode with you, it was great.
That's your no cap?
No cap. Shout out Rupert Grint.
Bye, buddy.
Wait, no, don't shut up. Well, no, he's cool, right? He's anti-JK Rowling, right?
I also might have gotten
it wrong.
Main,
which, I know the other two are. All right, cool. All right.
Bye.
Bye.